to keep moving back here further and further every week. One of these days I'm going to have everybody move up in the very front section. Just kind of shock us all. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to open up once again to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And we're continuing in our study on this particular psalm. And for my testimony tonight, I want to let you know I received two letters this week that were just tremendous blessings to me as people have been digging into this 23rd Psalm. And they've been discovering some very, very interesting things in their spiritual lives that are brought out in this particular psalm. And both of these indicated that, you know what, this is a passage that is for the living. It's not just a passage that's for the dead. And it's a shame that we have the tendency to think of this only in realms of funerals. But the 23rd Psalm is a living, breathing passage of Scripture that really helps to impact our lives when we allow it. And I'll tell you, it's just been amazing in these letters that people are just drinking from that fountain of the 23rd Psalm. And that's exciting for me, and I pray that it's exciting for you and for them as well. The 23rd Psalm, let's go ahead and begin reading it once again, and then we're going to pick up our study through beginning at verse 4, but we're going to read the whole psalm again. David writes this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you for these immortal words. How we thank you for your anointing that rested upon David to pen exactly what you directed. Now, Father, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to receive from your hand that which we need for our current experience in this life. And Lord, we'll certainly give you thanks and we'll give you praise, for you are the God who is worthy. We thank you that you are the Good Shepherd, that you walk with us, and that you give us guidance and direction, that you give us encouragement and correction. Lord, whatever it is that our life needs at this very moment. And so, Father, open our hearts to your word and our minds to your love, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, as we continue on this, I want us to, we're going to be picking up in this fourth verse. I've come across some interesting things regarding this fourth verse that different authors have given. And the thing that so leapt out at me was a part of the protection that the great shepherd gives us in this life. David, coming from the perspective of one who had shepherded sheep, who had been in the fields, you know the stories and the circumstances, how David protected the sheep by killing a bear and all of those various elements that took place. And in this particular passage, where he begins to talk about the valley of the shadow of death, different scholars had different ideas on what this meant. And of course, like many scriptures, the importance of this touches us where we're at the current moment. I don't know what your feelings are in regards to Joe Paterno. But Joe Paterno, I'm sure you know, are aware, passed away this morning. And, he was a man that different individuals have different feelings about. And I don't know what his spiritual condition was. But I know that he is aware right now of who God is. That doesn't mean that he's in God's presence. But he's had his meeting with God. And he knows the reality of who God is. My prayer for Joe Paterno was that he had made his peace with God. And he was given that opportunity in those final days, because he knew what was coming. And my prayer is that he made his heart right. But he passed through the valley of the shadow of death. And now his family and his friends are passing through that valley as well. Not that they're dying, but they are going through the grief that comes with the passing of a life. But you know, and that's why this particular passage is done so often at funerals, because of this fourth verse. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And you know, As we really look at this, some of the scholars that I read, in particular in the pulpit commentary, they talked about a literal valley, a physical valley, that was an extremely dangerous place. And sometimes in order to get, depending on where you lived in the particular area of Israel where you were, you would have to go through this particular valley to be able to take your sheep to the lush green hillsides. And in that valley, quite often there was all kinds of difficulties. Some of those difficulties were wild animals, and how wild animals would come in and try to disperse the sheep and pick out the weak ones, you know how they do, and try to kill some of the sheep, and how that shepherd had to be really on his toes to keep his sheep protected. And sometimes there would be robbers that would be waiting in that valley to attack the shepherds. And so it was a dangerous place that way. And literally, some people called that dark valley the valley of death, because there had been so many brutal times. And it wasn't just a path that was used by shepherds, but it was also a path that was used by travelers, and that's why sometimes the robbers would be there. Shepherds didn't have much, unless you needed a new staff. They didn't take much into the fields with them. But travelers sometimes would. And it was not uncommon to have someone murdered in this portion of a dark valley. And so as David is writing this, he is probably looking at perhaps some experiences that he had, even as being a shepherd. and how he saw the hand of God move in great and miraculous ways, and how that helped to bolster his spiritual strength, but how it helped to bolster his courage in life as well. And so he was convinced and confirmed that God was there to be able to help him, whatever valley. And we can take that and this particular passage and be able to translate that into the valleys that we face in life. What are some of the valleys of difficulty that we face? Let's get a little interaction here. What are some of those valleys? Excuse me? The loss of a loved one. Yes, actual death. But loss in more ways than just through death. Isn't that right, Ruth? Sometimes our loved ones reject us, or they reject God, and they go away from the Lord, and that puts on us a grief and a loss that way, right? Yeah, it doesn't always have to be physical death. Sometimes it's death of a relationship. Sometimes divorce. All different types of angles that way, where relationships are severed and broken. That can be a part of that valley, all right? What else? Excuse me.
Health.
Health, right. The loss of our health can be a dark valley, can it? And really create grief in our life, and not only ours, but the lives of our loved ones as well.
Economics.
Economics, the loss of a job, the loss of, I as Jerry brings that up, my mind goes to what's the guy's name, the Ponzi scheme guy, Madoff. Yes, people like that who swoop in to destroy people's financial security and that kind of thing. Yeah, those become real valleys. All right. Any others?
Loneliness.
Absolutely. Loneliness is a difficult valley, isn't it? It really is. It's a difficult, difficult valley. And, it's pretty self-explanatory. Any others?
War?
Absolutely. War is a valley that is extremely difficult. And not just for the one who's on the battlefield, but for the ones who are at home and are wondering every day, do I get the letter from the State Department that says my loved one's not coming back? That war is a deep valley for all who are concerned. Any others? The loss of a friendship. Absolutely. Another type of a broken relationship that is a valley time, that sense of rejection. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. Did I hear another one?
Depression?
Yes. Now, what are you speaking in depression? The emotional depression. Okay. Emotional depression is a deep, dark valley, isn't it? Absolutely. You see, there are all kinds of applications that can be made to the valley of the shadow of death. And as David is writing this, we don't know for certain what type of valley David was referring to. But you know what? He was a person who had complete confidence in God. And he said, look, I'll fear no evil, for you are there. You are with me. And your purpose in that is to protect and to comfort. This particular verse is a verse that should bring us great encouragement, no matter what we are facing. As I was going over this stuff for the study tonight, I couldn't help but think of some of our folks here at the church who have just been so vibrant and a part of the lifeblood of the church, and how they've been set aside, you know, and how difficult that is. When you look at, for example, Martha and the music that she and Gladys always used to share together in, and how those days are done. Or, you know, when you think of Blanche Kloppenstein, and now she lives every day in discomfort and pain. And yet, when you talk with her, her faith is so strong. God is walking with her through this valley of the loss of physical stamina and strength. You know, these things are very real difficulties that people have to go through. Can we trust God with the faith of a David? And I think sometimes we have to ask ourselves that. Am I going to trust God when I find myself physically laid aside, or emotionally broken, or relationally broken? Can I trust God? When I'm coming down to that point in life where I'm facing, perhaps drawing my last breath, is my confidence in God going to be as strong as that of David? Well, you know what? If we wait until the moment of death to embrace the presence of God, we're losing out on a lot of opportunity. We need to place our confidence and our trust in Him continually, every day, all the time, so that when we face a valley, the Lord is there and He's with us. I find it interesting that David at this point brings out the rod and the staff. We don't like the idea of the rod. We love the idea of the staff, but we don't really care for the idea of the rod. In some ways we do, but most of the time we begin to associate the rod with discipline. Spare the rod and spoil the child. A child's not impressed with the rod. Or as the Proverbs say, there's foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but what? The rod of correction drives it far from him. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from him. Discipline. You know, there are those times in our spiritual life when God must apply the rod of discipline to us. How do we respond? How do we react? And why would God ever discipline His children? To teach us a lesson? Okay, what kind of lesson do we need to learn? Or should we open that up to how many lessons do we need to learn? Okay, He does that to, yes, teach us a lesson. Sometimes He does that for our own good, doesn't He? Did you ever do something that was really stupid, but it taught you a lesson? I remember one time when I was a little kid, and I was only about 3, but I remember this as if it happened yesterday. My parents had told me over and over to leave the electric plugs alone. Don't do that. Don't touch those. That'll bite you, is the phrase that my mom used to always use. That'll bite you. And I had, of course, at 3, I had that mental picture of this thing grabbing a hold of me and biting me. You know, I mean, that's the way I thought. And I remember one day being in the living room. It was Christmas time. And I wanted the Christmas tree lights on. But Mom had said, no, we'll turn them on this evening. But I didn't want to wait till this evening. And I grabbed the plug, and I happened to touch, you know how little hands are. I happened to touch both of those little prongs, and we only had 2 prongs on that stuff, you know. And I stuck that in that socket, and you know what? It bit. And that shock really hurt my whole arm. You know, I mean, I was not the brightest bulb in the box when it came to that kind of thing. But I didn't realize what Mom meant when she said, that'll bite you. Well, it did. And I can still feel that. You know, I have never forgotten what it's like to grab a hold of both those prongs and stick them in something because, boy, it will bite. My mom applied the rod of correction, and so I got bit twice because of that particular plug. But you know what? I learned something. I learned 2 things. I'd better listen to Mom when she says no, and I'd better not try to plug anything in, grabbing a hold of those prongs and sticking them in the wall, because that hurts. You know, sometimes when we tell God no, He applies the rod to correct us. You see, shepherds would have to do this with their sheep. And in fact, when he'd get a particularly stubborn sheep, the discipline would be harsh, to where the shepherd would literally take the sheep and would break one of its legs so that the sheep would not be able to get around. And he then would carry that sheep and would nurture that sheep back to health. And once that was applied, and once that sheep healed, now get this, it would never leave that shepherd's side. It was always there. Sometimes we're like stubborn sheep. And God has to allow us to get broken so that we'll stay attached, stay under His care and under His leadership. We need to be at a point where we can get carried. And how that helps us. You see, the rod sometimes was used for correction. Sometimes God still uses the rod for that. The rod was also used for protection. Not just correction, but for protection. It became a weapon in the hands of that shepherd that could drive away wolves or mountain lions or whatever kind of lions it was that they had over in Israel at that time, whatever type of cat it was. But they would actually use that to protect themselves and to protect their sheep. And you know what? A genuine shepherd did not run when a wild animal came. They fought for their sheep. Just like God has fought for us. Jesus Christ fought for us on the cross in order that we could have life, that He may be able to protect His sheep. That's why the scriptures in Jesus is saying, look, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's the connection there. The good shepherd lays down his life, and he'll fight with everything he has to protect his sheep. Because he's the good shepherd. As David is writing this, he's talking about a valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. God, you're with me. No matter what valley I have to face, no matter what difficulty is placed before me, I don't walk it alone. And how comforting that is with the sheep. They hear the sound of the shepherd's voice. They become comforted because they know the shepherd will protect them. Sometimes that rod is used to drive away that which would try to destroy them. And then he talks about the staff. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. A staff was a long stick, if I can use that phrase, that had a crook on it. And that crook would be used to snatch. If a lamb began to go too close to the edge of a cliff or whatever you can envision in your mind, that shepherd would take that crooked staff and would grab it and pull it back to bring it protection. The staff was not a shovel that the city department uses to lean on. Sorry, Eric, I had to do it. Oh, I just have to harass him every once in a while. But it wasn't, we see pictures of the shepherds all the time, and they're kind of leaning on that staff. That's kind of the picture that you see. And yet that staff was a very useful instrument. It was used to grab a hold of that sheep and pull it back from a moment of danger. Because sometimes it's not the rod that would need to be used at that time, but he literally had to protect the sheep. Perhaps there's a wild animal coming up close to it, grab it and pull it back. Or there's a, like I said, perhaps getting close to the edge of a cliff or something. They're, sheep in this time aren't really like mountain goats, all right? They're not quite the same creature. It was interesting going out to out west to, where did I go, Randy? Montana, thank you. Going out to Montana and being able to see some of those goats on mountainsides. I mean, they're incredible. That's not what sheep are like. They're not that incredible when it comes to that kind of thing. They don't have the sure foot that the mountain goats have. And every once in a while, when they'd get a little too close to the edge, that shepherd would have to draw them back and pull them back for their own protection. As a sheep then, that instrument became an instrument of comfort. As long as that shepherd's got that, my good shepherd, I know he's going to pull me back from that which would try to hurt me or to harm me. And that becomes a comforting thing. God still uses a staff to draw us and to pull us when we're when we're wandering. But it's for our own good and for our own protection. And that becomes a very, very important part of a shepherd's arsenal. Also, that staff would be used to check the sheep for ticks, for those kinds of things. They would literally rub that staff along the side of a sheep and be able to check and see if there were any parasites that were on it so that they could clean the parasites off and keep the sheep healthy and, you know, that kind of thing. Well, you want to know something? The Word of God is our staff. The Word of God, when applied to our lives, will keep the parasites off. The Word of God will help us to be healthy and strong as the sheep of Christ. Don't despise God's staff, God's working to keep us safe and to keep us secure. But instead, learn to respect the staff and the rod of the shepherd. It's an amazing verse, that fourth verse, and it has a lot more to do with how we live than it does with how we die. So it's important that we recognize that. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And it's an interesting word because it's the word through the valley. Not to the valley, but through the valley. The shepherd goes with us. He will protect us. He'll help us. And so whether we're facing the actual valley of death, the Lord has promised to go through that experience with us. We don't walk it alone. Whether we're going through a devastating time in life, some other type of a valley that we're walking through, the Lord goes through that valley with us. He doesn't take off because the terrain gets rough. He walks with us. And He brings us help and comfort and sometimes discipline. He's an amazing, amazing shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know what? We're not going to get to verses 5 and 6 this week. I thought maybe we'd finish up tonight, but we're not going to. So I'm just going to ask you to stand. We're going to have a closing word of prayer. And I just want to ask you this week, take a moment in your life to thank the shepherd for walking with you. To thank the shepherd for being there with you and available to you. Thank him for the times that he protects you from danger that you're not even aware of. Thank him for being your shepherd. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, again, it is an amazing privilege we have of looking at your word. Father, thank you for your amazing grace, for your peace that passes our understanding, for your compassion, for your watch care over us, for your walking with us and protecting us. Father, thank you for your presence even when we're unaware of what's going on around us. Now, Lord, help us to not be stubborn sheep that have to be broken, but instead, help us to be submissive sheep. Sheep that will follow your voice and not wander astray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your great love for us. For it's in your awesome and holy name we pray, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.